This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1, 3, and 7-day passes. Watch The Chase for the Cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
You are definitely living in the hindsight world today, Paul.
With the second pick in the 2023 NFL Draft, the Houston Texans select C.J. Stroud, quarterback, Ohio State.
Plenty of time for Stroud. Directing receiver, clips it to the end zone. Touchdown! Marvin Harrison Jr.
I come from nothing, so I'm blessed to be on this stage. And to that little boy, that little girl out there, man, man, you can do anything you put your mind to.
Houston's going to move in to number three and have its pick at the top. Defensive player in the draft.
With the third pick in the 2023 NFL Draft, the Houston Texans select Will Anderson Jr., linebacker, Alabama.
How many number 31s is there on the side?
One is enough.
Malik Davis got dropped for a loss.
Jeez,
how many number 31s are there?
Thank you for this opportunity. You won't regret it. I'm going to work my butt off every day. Stay true to who I am.
Who would have thought last night would have played out like it did? Welcome aboard the Paul Gallant Show on this Friday, gotta get down on Friday, April 28th of 2023. And my goodness gracious, if you are not excited about what the Houston Texans did last night, I do not know what to tell you. What did they do? They drafted C.J. Stroud, second overall. They traded up to the number three pick with the Arizona Cardinals. And then they took Will Anderson, considered to be the best pass rusher in this year's draft by many. You know how to get aboard the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. As Voice Guy said himself, 713-780-3776 to call, to text. You can join us in our Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975, or get after us on Twitter at Gallant Says, at ESPN975, at Sean A. Mapes, who has been working very, very since early this morning. Sean, we were both at Valencia's Tex-Mex Garage for the Texans draft. I think both of us went into it thinking, yeah, they're probably not going to take a quarterback. Not only did they take a quarterback, but they also took a pass rusher. And that trade came out of nowhere. Kind of felt like I was watching draft day again, but I'm feeling good. How feel you about your beloved Houston Texans?
Me feel good about the Houston Texans. Yeah, we couldn't have been more wrong because we thought it was going to be kind of boring, and it was actually the most exciting thing that the Texans franchise has basically ever done.
It really is.
Because it really is just something they did from a movie. Now, is it the smart decision? Is it the right decision? Time will tell. But it was, for one night, it was fun. The electricity at Valencia's Tex-Mex Garage last night.
That place was packed.
It was, you would, like, just the...
You couldn't move.
The noise, and also the noise when we heard Adam Schefter say that the Texans are trading back in, just like a, wah!
Right, because it's on this big television that they have at one end of Valencia's, and all of a sudden you just see this giant Adam Schefter excitedly yelling, "The Texans have traded up to the number three overall pick." And people started getting extremely excited. And the best part was, the night was done after that. You didn't have to wait for anything. The Texans got it all done. So for all those people who get mad at me, bitching and moaning about baseball, not having a pitch clock until this past season, you're probably thinking, Paul, that was perfect for you. It was. I like it when things happen. Chip, chop, chip. So, Stroud second overall. The trade to get up to that third overall pick. Their 12th this year, a swap of first-round picks. The 33rd pick this year, a second-rounder. Their first-round pick next year, not the Browns' first-round pick, their first-round pick. And then on top of that, a third-round pick next year. for that pick to take Will Anderson and a fourth round pick. Sean said something interesting just a moment ago that is something we're going to have to deal with in the near future. Was this a smart move? But I think for the next 24, 48, 72 hours, you are allowed to put that to the side if you were someone who loves this football team. Because, God, you've been down bad. Right? We've all been there before. We've all been down bad. But from being down bad, all of a sudden, you end up having a wonderful night and get lucky in a big way. I mean, not one, but two. And while you technically had to pay for it, well, technically had to pay a lot for it, you should light up a cigarette and bask in the afterglow. It's fine to be super happy with what just happened, even though we all have no idea whether or not C.J. Stroud's going to be a good quarterback in the NFL and whether or not we know that Will Anderson will be a good pass rusher in the NFL. I don't care about what's next. I don't care about tomorrow. I don't care about thinking this through and wondering if there's a future here. All I care about is that they did this. And I would have been happy with them taking any quarterback. I like that on top of getting a quarterback that they got a linchpin for their defense. Because it is wholly void. Were you going to be able to find that guy with the 12th overall pick? Debatable. Some would argue you could have taken Lucas Van Ness, the defensive end out of Iowa. Others are going to argue you could have taken some of the other pass rushers out there. Maybe you sit around, you trade up later, not to 3, but to 7 to get Tyree Wilson instead of the Las Vegas Raiders. Tyree Wilson had some drip last night. But I'm looking at it from the right now. This ownership group needed to do something. And this isn't the best way to operate as an organization, but they had to do something to get people back in. And I would imagine, for the most part, the average person listening right now who cares about the Houston Texans is intrigued, if not excited. I think you should be excited. I'll take intrigued. I think they'll take intrigued too. And I get it. This was a lot to trade up to that spot. And in the words of Grand Moff Tarkin before the Death Star blew up, this had better work. It better work.
Wait, what? When did he say that?
Grand Moff Tarkin said that right before the Death Star descended upon Yavin 4. So Darth Vader basically let Princess Leia, Han Solo, Luke Skywalker escape because they knew that they were going to go to the Rebel base, and they put a tracking device on the Millennium Falcon, followed them to Yavin 4, and that's what Grand Moff Tarkin told Vader. This had better work.
And then the Death Star blew up. Okay, I don't love that. I don't love that imagery, but okay.
Well, it's something you should have in the back of your mind. And who amongst us hasn't been down bad and got lucky and then woke up the next day wondering, is this good? Is there a future here? Is there anything more to this? Do I want to leave before the other person wakes up? Is it time for me to call an Uber? Am I about to walk of shame my way out of here? Like, that could happen. I'm not acting like this is a definitive success for the team. We have no idea, and we're probably not going to know for 2 to 3 years. But you got to be excited about it, right? You got a quarterback, C.J. Stroud, who, per many, is the best quarterback in this year's draft. Not a lot. Like, that's not the majority opinion, but enough people. Stroud, 6'3", guy who played very well in big-time games, guy with a little bit of mobility as well. He has all the boxes checked off as far as things that you want in a quarterback, and this is a guy that we have seen play very well on the highest stage. His last game against Georgia, it was not his fault that Georgia beat Ohio State. It was the idiot kicker's fault. C.J. Stroud set them up for the game-winning field goal with a scramble of about 30 yards. He had about 58 seconds. To get Ohio State in field goal range, he got him in field goal range. He wasn't the reason they lost that game. And then on the other side of things, you got Will Anderson, who has been dominant since as a freshman. This was one of the first guys that Nick Saban let start as a linebacker as a freshman. In fact, he was the first. So there's a lot of cool things about these guys, but you don't know how it's going to work out in the NFL. That's okay. You're allowed to be excited right now. 713-780-3776 to call, to text in as well on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. We've got Vera on the west side. Vera was out at Valencia.
Hey, Paul.
What's up, Vera?
It was so good to see you guys last night. I think to add to what you said, even if people look at it like that was a high price to pay for Will Anderson, it really was the price to pay to get C.J. Stroud. I think Will Anderson was much more overwhelmingly high on their draft board. But I think if the question is, would they have left to the quarterback, what kind of a space would have left in their mouths and everybody else? And it would have cost a lot more. Even if we had two first-round picks next year, it would have cost a lot more to trade up to get one of the top quarterbacks next year. People can argue about the S2 score, that C.J. Stroud had the S2 score, but McGinn, who Lance had quoted, had said just because somebody has a low S2 score does not mean, you know, they're bad. It just means that the coaching staff will find other ways to maximize their talent. And so I think this was a very good day one for the Houston Texans, and I think they just need to find some other pieces on day two today, maybe a wide receiver, a center for sure, and a linebacker, and I think we'd be ready to go, ready to rock and roll.
Rock and roll. I like that, Vera. Wrapping it up with that. Appreciate the phone call. He said it's a very good first day. I'm not even going to say that. I'm going to say it's an exciting first day. We don't know. We don't know that it's going to end up in success, but you're allowed to be excited about it. We have the usual suspects on the Twitch who are poo-pooing this. I don't see how you can poo-poo this given where the franchise was this past season. Like, Davis Mills was under center. Now Davis Mills is not under center, and it's not Case Keenum either. It is somebody. And yeah, he went to Ohio State, and I have my own reservations about Ohio State quarterbacks. We talked about it last night after the pick was made when Patrick Creighton and I did the show from 9 to 11 from Valencia's. We talked about all the things that are reasons to perhaps pause when it comes to C.J. Stroud. And then with Will Anderson, edge rushers don't always work out in the NFL. And there's been a lot of Alabama players all playing with one another. Is Will Anderson different than the rest of the guys that he was on defense with? Is he so much better to the point that you are willing to trade what you traded to get there? Which is, again, a swapping of first-round picks, the 33rd pick this year, your first-round pick, not the Browns' first-round pick next year, and their third-round pick for Arizona's third pick and a fourth-round pick in this year's draft. How do you feel about the move? 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in as well on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. You can tweet us at Gallant Says, at ESPN97.5, at Sean A. Mapes, or join us on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN97.5. I have a conspiracy theory about how things went down last night. I'll share it with you next. It's the Paul Gallant Show. The Texans drafted C.J. Stroud and Will Anderson, ESPN97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to the Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
What's up, Nick?
What's happening, brother? How you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm feeling a lot better now.
Welcome to Texas, bud.
Yes, sir.
Excited to have
you. Thank you.
D'Amico's going to get on the phone here in a little bit. He'll visit with you here, and then we'll catch up with you after. But congratulations. You've earned this opportunity, and you know, we can't wait to get started with you.
Thank you for the opportunity, man. I promise I won't let you down. I'm going to work my tail off.
You got it.
Nick Caserio on the phone with C.J. Stroud, taken second overall in last night's NFL draft by the Houston Texans, who then traded pick 12, pick 33, next year's first-round pick, the one that they own, not the one that they have from Cleveland, and a third next year for Arizona's third overall pick to get Will Anderson and a fourth round pick. So essentially, in making that trade, they are theoretically costing themselves the ability to select two high talent players. A late first round pick slash early second round pick this year. And on top of that, whatever their first round pick is going to be next year. I would imagine that they will likely, if things continue the way that they're going, be a 6-7 win team, best case scenario. So there's a pretty good chance that that first pick that they have is going to be top 10. I don't know really what to make of Cleveland with the other pick that they have in the first round next year. That organization is always such a mess that there's a chance, I suppose, that maybe the Browns pick will also be a very good one middle of the first round next year. But they gave up a lot to make this move for Will Anderson. Nick Caserio, at his post-draft press conference, said that the Texans had the ammo and the timing to make the trade up.
Every year is different. Every draft is going to be different. You can't really project what's going to happen in 2024. So we talked about this before the draft. I think we put ourselves in a position. We created some optionality for ourselves. So if we felt there was an opportunity that we could take advantage of, then we were in a position to do it. And I would say the way kind of the chips fell, like that kind of happened to work itself out.
I think that Nick Caserio looks at draft picks the same way that I do. And not everybody shares this same opinion, but I don't look at draft picks as soon-to-be actual assets. I look at draft picks as currency. I don't believe that having a first-round pick guarantees you a damn thing. You could end up drafting a guy who just ends up being like a 3-4 year starter for you that you don't even pick up the fifth-year option with. But there's a lot of people out there who really put a lot of value into first-round picks and second-round picks. Yeah. If you hit with those picks, it's great. But for the most part, teams across the league are not going to go anywhere close to 100%. So if you really like a guy, I feel like you should feel free to use that currency that you have to trade up and take a guy that you really like. Obviously, who knows what's going to happen with CJ Stroud and with Will Anderson. But the Texans looked at the many draft picks that they have. They still have a first-round pick next year. They still have a second-round pick next year. And thought to themselves, you know what? We like this guy enough. Let's give up a couple of those picks. And look, that's, I guess, going to be the real question for the foreseeable future. Did they give up too much to trade up for Will Anderson? Caserio says he doesn't think he gave up that much.
You know, really, the trade in and of itself was just about doing what we felt was best for the team and the organization. And I would say trades are always a product or a function of the player. And, you know, I would say just from our perspective, it's not about like what the points tell you on a chart. You know, if you have conviction about a player and you want a player and you think the trade is the right thing for you to do, then you go ahead and do it, you know, which is what we did. So I would say we're certainly not worried about like what the points are and what the trade chart says.
The trade happened. They gave up a lot for it. The rest of this draft, they have 2 third-round picks, 2 fourth-round picks, a 5th, 3 sixths, 2 sevenths, and next year they have the Browns first, a 2nd-round pick, 2 fourth-round picks, a 5th, 2 sixths, and 3 sevenths. I think something you got to keep in mind. A draft is not won with what you do in the first and the second round. Having cheap talent, it's important. It's the best place to find talent. But what you do in the third round and the fourth round, I would say, the amount of real players you find in that spot, that's where a general manager and a team goes from being a whatever they are to a real contender. That's where you got to find guys. And to his credit, did Nick Caserio not find a couple last year? And we're talking second round to Jason, but Damian Pierce, Christian Harris, Jalen Petrie, those were very impressive picks. The top picks were the ones that you're questioning. Derek Stingley and Kenyon Green. And maybe it makes you question CJ Stroud and Will Anderson as well. I realize they gave up a lot. I'm still excited they made the moves. I think you're allowed to be excited. I'm surprised by the negativity. Check that. I'm not surprised by the negativity on Twitch at all. A lot of you guys are just miserable people. And I think that you need to just realize that Sometimes you use draft picks to trade and get better draft picks. Doesn't mean it's going to be a home run every single time, which I'm sure you know. I obviously know. But to get hung up on the cost, I'm sorry. Like, spare me. I don't want to hear it today. Maybe a couple of years from now, I'll listen. If this was an absolute whiff, fine. But where was this ownership group? Where were they? Where was this team? Irrelevance. They had to do something. And I think it was in their best interests to do something that was a splash. And yes, they obviously like these players too. Do you see how excited they were in the draft room when they were able to get Anderson too? Like, they're pumped about it. Who knows if that means anything? But I'm just looking at some of the responses that we're getting today. I don't really want to talk to you. That's sort of how I feel right now. Larry's got a thought at 713-780-3776. Larry, what's going on?
Hey, man, what's going on, brother?
Yo.
I don't think they gave up too much. I think they picked the wrong player.
Who do you think they should have got?
Well, Anderson is not he's not what they're making him.
Why not?
He's just not. I look at how he got.
No, there's not. He's just not. You got to give me a reason. You got to give me a reason, Larry. Because if we're gonna go and have really strong opinions on draft picks,
I mean, he's not gonna be that guy that Dallas got that made all-pro in his first year.
What, Micah
Parsons?
He's
just not dead, man.
But people thought Micah Parsons was a bad pick when they picked him.
Yeah, but no. But this guy, Jalen Carter, was the pick.
Jalen Carter should have been the pick?
And I'm not even a Texas fan. Honestly, I'm a Saints fan.
Okay.
But they finally go in the right direction from what I see. With those picks.
You just think they should have gotten Jalen Carter instead of Will Anderson?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Watch whose career be what.
Okay.
Believe me.
Okay. Appreciate the phone call, Larry. 713-780-3776 to call and to text in, too. Who knows? That's my simple response to this. I'm not going to jump up on the table for Will Anderson. I'm not going to jump up on the table for Jalen Carter over Will Anderson. 713-780-3776 to call in, to text into the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. A lot of you guys want to talk about these picks that they made and, of course, the very expensive price that it took for the Texans to trade up from the 12th spot to the 3rd spot. In case you're just tuning in, they traded the pick that they had, number 12, 33, first-round pick next year that they own, and their 3rd next year to move up to 3 and take Will Anderson after taking C.J. Stroud 2nd overall. Up next on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston, we've got Isaiah. Isaiah, what's up?
Hey, man. What's going on?
Yo.
Hey, all I want to say, man, you know, this fan base, sometimes we just can't be satisfied with anything. We address the quarterback, big position of need. We address pass rush, big need. Now, my thing is, when you say a player isn't a player, you have to have the reasons why that player is not.
Yeah,
that
exactly.
Guy.
Exactly.
You know, that's can't be just gut one feeling. Big thing with me. You look at that guy's numbers in college, you look at his stats, you look at the other guys' stats, he was a top candidate for that pick. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Now, just like you said, what are we going to do with the rest of the draft? Now, that's a big question. Now, I didn't really like the fact that we gave up our first-round pick, but, hey, you got to give to get. You know, hey, I applaud the Texans. They tried to make a splash for the fans. It's something that we wanted to see. Hey, man, just let the chips fall where they may. Hey, thank you for taking the call.
With you, Isaiah. That's how I'm approaching it. And I think it's okay to be excited. My God, how did this turn into a funeral? The killer Debbie Downers haven't even started yet. I mean, my God, they're crushing this. I look at this from the perspective of you had no impactful players on defense, and you got one, and you got a quarterback. Obviously, they might not be as impactful as you want, but a guy from Alabama, don't you feel pretty good about a guy from Alabama if he's on the defensive side of the ball? Ohio State quarterback, I do get the biases against it. We're going to leave it open to you, 713-780-3776 to call in and text. And I do have a conspiracy theory that I want to share with you right here on the Paul Gallant Show. The Texans drafted C.J. Stroud and Will Anderson yesterday. That's all we're talking about today. Don't go anywhere.
This is ESPN 97.5. Real fun sports.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Set, go!
Tackling the biggest news in the NFL.
This just in.
With Paul Gallant. The 10-minute drill starts now.
Football time. And the biggest news in the NFL is that the Houston Texans not only took C.J. Stroud with the number 2 overall pick, but they traded into the number 3 spot with Arizona, giving up their 12th pick, 33rd pick this year, a first-round pick next year, a third-round pick next year, to get the third pick, Will Anderson from Alabama, and a fourth-round pick as well. So the rest of the draft they have as follows. 2 third-round picks, which you will see tonight. Maybe they'll trade up again. 2 fourth-round picks. A 5th, 3 sixth-round picks, 2 seventh-round picks. I'm going to first read a couple of texts before I share my conspiracy theory with you. To pick show the front office can't come to a compromise, says Josh in Beaumont. Nick may not be around at next year's draft when Arizona is picking with Houston's top 7 pick. Yep, he might not. He also might be there. You have to operate as if you're going to be there. When you trade up like this, you are assuming that you are going to be better. And that it won't be that big of a whiff in terms of giving that first round pick away to somebody else. I do wonder just how much better they are next year. But by default, with somebody other than Davis Mills, they have to be better. Davis Mills is one of the worst quarterbacks I've ever seen on this franchise. And that's saying something because there's been a lot of bad. But he is definitively one of the worst. I think he's worse than Brock Osweiler. Yeah, I said it. Worse.
Tom Savage.
On par.
Okay.
But still
he's
worse.
He's in the Savage zone. In the bad way.
At least Tom Savage had pocket presence. Too much pocket presence. Tom Savage would just stand there and then get absolutely smoked. But he was completely oblivious to pass rush.
Would you call Davis Mills Ryan Mallett with an alarm clock? Punctual Ryan Mallett.
Sure. You know what? I'll give him that. A text from Matt. I won suite level Texans tickets in a silent auction and could not be more excited now. Screw that pick next year. We actually have hope. Okay. Let's go to the phone. 713-780-3776 to call, to text. Pena is up first. Pena, what's going on? Pena.
Hey, what's up? Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now. What's up?
All right. What's up, guys? So, what that last texture said was screw them, F them picks or whatever. I don't want to go that far because it looks like the Rams are going to go down for saying that. But I agree with the picks. I like it. Got me some hope. I'm just a little worried about next year's draft because I really, really wanted Marvin Harrison Jr. I think he is going to be a top 10 pick next year. That's all I have to say. Go Texans. Thank you. Have a great day.
Appreciate the phone call, Pena. Here's the thing. Nick Caserio's not looking at next year's draft class and thinking what he can get. We all do these weird projections from a year from now that we have no idea about what the draft's going to be. We have no idea. For all we know, Caleb Williams is going to pull a Matt Barkley and be a fourth-round pick or something like that. No one knows. You can't be looking that far into the future. Sometimes you just got to take what's available to you. The Cardinals wanted no part of the number 3 pick because they have no talent on that roster. Texans saw an opportunity. They traded into it. This team does have some talent. The hope is that the coaching is going to be able to get some more out of the talent. But they still have a lot to do on the trenches specifically. Defensive line, offensive line, on the interior. Like, that's what I'm hoping for the most part, the rest of this draft.
Do you think that the Texans intentionally traded their own pick, their own first-round pick next year, just to get people to stop rooting for them to lose? Because now there's no incentive. Folks, there's no incentive for the Houston Texans to lose. You have to root for them to actually win. There's no safety net of like, good, I'm glad we lost. Like, nope.
Good.
You got to win these.
Good, because I'm tired of this city operating with this logic. It makes us very just pathetic. Both Rockets fans and Texans fans cheering for the team to lose so they get better draft picks. You're all embarrassments.
It's tough. All of you. It's tough to have them happening at the same time. And if it was one at a time, that would be one thing.
No, Sean.
The fact that it's all
anyone endorses that is a loser. And I'll say it once. I've said it a million times. I'll say it again. You're a loser if you're rooting for that. You are. Because you are rooting for losing. Definitively, you are a loser. Ooh, but it's smart. Yes, but you're a smart loser. That's what you are. Sorry, some people have honor and pride. Me, you don't. It's okay. You're back into the light. I hope that you took that to heart, people that were rooting for that. Because, yes, one more time, loser. Every single talk show host that was rooting for this team to play poorly so they could have a better draft pick, loser. The only people that are cool, in my opinion, are the people who are rooting for the Texans to win the last game of the season against the Indianapolis Colts. Boom. You want a hot take? That's a hot take. You want to root against the Texans when they're playing Indianapolis? You're a loser. You are a loser. Thank you. 713-780-3776 to call in. We've got Daniel. Daniel!
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Yo.
Hey, man, I just have to say, I'm super excited about this, about last night's draft.
Let's go.
Man. The first two picks, number two, number three. I'm a diehard Texans fan, and, you know, you kind of hit it right on the nail when you just said about, you know, coming in last year and not, you know, not really having a hope. The only thing we're kind of hoping for is that Davis Mills takes it and he's going to take that next step. And obviously he didn't. So then you're really going to lose all season and you're not really paying attention because you want to get a higher draft pick. With C.J. Stroud and Anderson last night, man, not only do you automatically make your team better, but you also automatically start hoping to win. You know, you're rooting to win. You know, you're going to be in every single game rooting for the team. Because you don't have the pick, first of all. You know, of course, we're all rooting for Cleveland to lose to get there, you know, get a higher pick with them. But, you know, with Will Anderson, man, you automatically have a cornerstone in the defense and set the identity for the defense for the future.
Yeah, I think you're right, Daniel. And sorry, your phone's cutting in and out. So, but we got the general premise of the call. In drafting Stroud and drafting Anderson, you have focal points to build around if you're a head coach. And if you're a general manager, and now you can try to focus on other things. And the hope is that the coaching is going to get the absolute most out of these players, where with Lovie Smith, that was not going to happen. Sorry, too low energy. And on top of that, you could say the exact same thing with David Culley. It's all on the coaching now. This is why you brought D'Amico Ryans in. You got to get the most out of the players that you brought in. Like, that's the other thing here, too. You are expecting D'Amico Ryans to make these players all better. That also applies to Kenyon Green. That also applies to Derek Stingley Jr. from last year's draft. That also applies to John Metchie. And you're hoping that some of the guys that you brought in free agency as well, Sheldon Rankins, Dalton Schultz, they did sign notable players, Jimmy Ward, in this free agency. Jerry Hughes is still around. I'm not acting like this team all of a sudden has a ton of talent. They still have a bunch of holes, and they're going to need to try to fix them. But I feel like this is going to push the actual culture of this organization.
Whoa.
I know, I used the C word. It's going to push it towards a we have actual expectations for ourselves kind of place. Because you didn't have it with Lovie, and you didn't have it with Culley. You didn't. And that's what this thing desperately needs. This is going to make not just a fan base excited. But the locker room is also going to look at this and say, okay, now we actually have a prayer. Because I'm sure last year, after the first five games or so, they were like, oh my God, this is miserable. Because they're playing in close games, but you know, they must have been like, wait. Oh boy. Oh, this is a 17-game season now? Oh no.
And with Will Anderson, like, now you have, like, another blue chipper. Like, you just have, like, top-end talent, which the Texans did not have until they drafted Derek Stingley. Honestly, they just didn't.
None.
They just, for, what, a year, they just didn't have anyone that was, like, that was excellent on defense. Now they have, you hope Derek Stingley, again, takes another step. And then with Will Anderson, you hope he steps in. You just need this injection of talent. And they got they had two of the top three picks.
They got two of the top players going into this year's draft. And we didn't do all that pre-draft stuff because we find it to be boring and pointless talk. But now that the picks have been made, you got two of the top guys. Now you got to coach them up. It's that simple.
Yeah, don't do the Bill O'Brien and hand a team the third overall pick. Like,
right.
Hey, let's make sure.
There are stakes.
Yeah, could we maybe give the Cardinals the ninth pick, the 10th pick?
Right.
Like that? That'd be better.
Or, hey, the 20th pick. Like,
or the 32nd pick.
Think about it from this perspective, and Patrick was bringing this up last night. Is the AFC South that difficult of a division right now? The Titans are openly tanking. They drafted a tackle yesterday, the kid from Northwestern. What's
Skoronski.
His face? Pete Skoronski. Right. That is basically saying, yeah, we know we're not going to be good this coming season because Will Levis was still on the board. And the Colts took a project in Anthony Richardson. Do you think he's going to be good next season? Also, ask yourself this question about the Jaguars. How good are they really? I still think they're like in this 7 to 11 win range, and I think they're the AFC South favorites, but I don't think by any means they are like super favorites. Now, I'm not saying the Texans are all of a sudden in the running for the AFC South. I expect them to still come in at most second place in a bad division, which is really not saying much, but they're not looking at this from the perspective of we're going to suck forever, which is good. That's what this ownership group wanted probably from them. And on top of that, it's what the coaches and the players all want to feel about themselves. You want to have pride when you come into work. You haven't had it for 2 years here.
Yeah. At the end of the day, like, I'd much rather just make this trade and deal with the loss of picks than have to go into another season of just like, so what are we doing at quarterback? Like, we have to hope to be the number one pick to get Caleb Williams because, hey,
so lame.
By the way, guys, if you weren't going to be the number one pick, you weren't going to get Caleb Williams. No one was going to trade out of the Caleb Williams pick.
Right.
No one's going to trade out probably the number two pick with Drake May.
Exactly.
So you're going to have to make a trade up for a quarterback or sign up for another year of winning two games. And then you bring in D'Amico Ryans and you win two games. He would have to be worse than Lovie Smith and David Culley.
You know why I don't like the NFL draft, Sean? Because all of the conversation about the draft and about draft picks and mock drafts, which was started by Mel Kiper Jr., all of this has led to an idea that, okay, well, maybe there's another football season. It's the stock up draft picks, get as many draft picks as possible, and just draft a bunch of guys. This isn't Madden. This is not Madden football with you importing your roster from NCAA football into Madden and being the only person that is aware of who's good and who isn't. You know, it's not how it works. I hate that so many people think that draft picks are going to turn into things that are good 100% of the time. But a lot of the people that are upset with what the Texans traded up to get that, you are assuming that all of those picks are going to be hit. And I'm not assuming that Stroud and Anderson are going to be hits either. All I'm saying is you got to stop acting like they gave up the world. They gave up a lot, the world, massive chasm between the two things. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I have a conspiracy that I'm going to share with you about why all of a sudden the Texans may have taken C.J. Stroud. I'm curious as to what you think about it. Stick around. It's the Paul Gallant Show, the most interactive sports talk show in Houston.
ESPN 97.5. This is the Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
All right, guys, I have a conspiracy theory. Brought in my special hat. I'm wearing a tinfoil hat, twitch.tv/ESPN975. Custom made. Four pieces of aluminum foil, baby. So I don't think it's that crazy to believe that a much more self-aware ownership group might have pressed Nick Caserio into taking C.J. Stroud at pick number two, which is interesting because, as discussed in the break, they're probably not thrilled with any quarterback who is a client of the NFL's most powerful agent, David Mulugeta, especially with what happened with Deshaun Watson not too long ago. But ownership had to know that fans would remain checked out without some sort of quarterback to sell going forward, right? So I find it interesting that we got this little tidbit from Jonathan Alexander of the Chronicle a couple of days ago. I've gone back and forth between Alabama defensive end Will Anderson and Ohio State quarterback C.J. Stroud, but I had a source tell me Wednesday that the Texans have been inquiring about Stroud and his background in recent days, more so than they had previously. And that sounds straight out of the movie Draft Day, because if you watch the movie Draft Day, Kevin Costner's character, the general manager of the Browns, trades up to the number one overall pick, and then they say, all right, my bad, we didn't do any due diligence on the presumed number one quarterback to be taken, let's start digging. It does sound similar, not completely similar, where they didn't do any research on it. This Kevin Costner character seems like a complete dumbass in the movie. But something to keep in mind, because also factor in this, there were rumors about Nick Caserio potentially leaving the Texans after the draft. Could that have come from Nick Caserio perhaps venting to his people that he communicates with from time to time that might have media ties that he doesn't have full say over what the Texans are doing at the top of the draft? And to wrap up my conspiracy theory with my cute little tinfoil hat on, maybe the trade up for Will Anderson was a compromise with ownership. Ownership's like, well, we got all these picks. If you want Will Anderson, we'll get Will Anderson, but we will also get C.J. Stroud. So that way, you guys, and as you saw from Caserio and D'Amico, they were pumped about the Anderson pick. You didn't see the reaction that they had to drafting C.J. Stroud. They get a quarterback for ownership, and they get the best defensive player in the draft for themselves. We'll see how it all plays out from here. But that is my conspiracy theory. I think it is plausible that ownership, sensing that same old Texans could have been a thing, which, by the way, some of you people who are mad about the trade-up for Will Anderson seem to be mad that they're not being the same old conservative Texans that are operating with like a Patriots mindset. It is, I think, possible that they pressed for Stroud and compromised with Will Anderson in the middle. Thoughts, Sean Mape, on that? Beautiful tinfoil hat conspiracy.
Well, it's Sean Mapes with an S at the end.
Did I say Sean Mapes?
You said Sean Mape. You singleized it. Yeah.
My bad.
No, I think that's perfectly reasonable. I think it makes all the sense in the world because part of the reason I think it makes sense is that the Texans don't really look that good. If that's the case, that they basically had to, like, King Solomon it and, like, be like, all right, guys, D'Amico, you'll get your guy. Ownership, you'll get your guy. And, like, that's what Caserio had to do on draft day is, all right, well, we want two different guys. You know what? I'll get both of them. And I don't love that. I would love to have a more, you know, aligned organization in that way. But, I mean, at the end of the day, you got C.J. Stroud, Will Anderson. Like, you can't complain that much about that.
I'm not complaining that much about it because where this organization was, Sean, was hell. They had to do something like this.
Yeah, also, yeah.
That's which is a shame, but they did actually have to make a splash. Like, this was not going to be a successful draft if they got the good players because they need to generate interest from today through September. They need people to start thinking about them again at all, which me, my show, barely paid attention to them last year. And football is all I care about if we're being perfectly honest. The Astros are good. If the Astros weren't good, sorry, I would barely talk about baseball. But again, you change the way that the show goes because of that, right? But we were not even talking about them. Most fans didn't want to hear about them. They had to do something to get the average person out there back in. And I know there's a lot of smart football fans here, right? A lot of people that think very highly of their football acumen. And you're looking at this and you're like, this was crazy. But you are not the majority. You're not. I wish at times you were, but you're not. So there's a very, very likely possibility that this was one of the factors that led to the Texans making this move. I don't think it's disastrous for that to be the case. I don't. I'm not the killer bees who are pissed about the trade up to go and get Will Anderson. I saw a text earlier. Someone said, well, you could have stuck around and taken Will Levis. Maybe Will Levis isn't very good considering how far he's fallen. I mean, didn't people think that Malik Willis was a potential first-round pick last year? And then look how far he fell. And then look at what he looked like when he was on the field. Like, the Titans signed Josh Dobbs. They thought he sucked so much.
They could have kept the 33rd pick and picked Will Levis. Will Levis might be there at 65 or whenever the third-round pick is.
Mm-hmm. So. He might. That's true. 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in as well on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. We've got Thomas, our friend in the Heights. Thomas, what's up?
Hey, what's up, Paul? Your conspiracy theory really triggered me.
Oh, no.
I was like anti, if you're not going to get young, you don't believe in a quarterback, just draft best available, fill out, build your foundation, trust in D'Amico. You know what, give Caserio more time to work or whatever, but it did seem really odd and weird at the moment, and then, you know, give up a bunch for, you know, move up to take the guy that you're, you know, speculated to take originally. I don't know. I mean, I understand the splash and the marketing or try to get the hype, but it's crazy that the ownership would listen to a fan base that wants to win this year when that's not a plausible thing. So
I'm going to slightly push back on that characterization. I don't think it's them listening to the fan base. I think it's realizing where the fan base is. Now, they hadn't listened to the fan base for a while, and I do think that they are a lot more self-aware than they've been in years past because they are listening to a degree. But I think that this isn't a listening to the fan base move as much as it's a trying to get the fan base to listen to you move. You're trying to win them back.
And it's also not really a win now move either.
Like, no, it's not.
It's still drafting a 22-year-old and a 21-year-old or however old these guys are. It's not, you know, going all in. It's not making the Russell Wilson trade. That's not what they did.
Right. And by the way, speaking of Russell Wilson, this is not what's going to make and break them. You know, everyone, you focus on the first-round picks. You guys remember the Rick Smith era, right? How many first-round picks did they nail? They were great at first-round picks for a long time. Think about it. J.J. Watt, Whitney Mercilus, DeAndre Hopkins, Jadeveon Clowney. He was a good player. You can't argue against that. Kevin Johnson was not, but you had Kareem Jackson as a first-round pick. I forget who they took in the first round in 2016 off the top of my head. Deshaun Watson in 2017. You had Dwayne Brown in 2009. Brian Cushing. Although, was Brian Cushing a second-round pick? But you've had a really good track record of first-round picks. What did that lead to? It's about what you do in the third, fourth rounds. You got to hit. And there's more pressure on Caserio for today than there was yesterday.
Texans draft Will Fuller in the 2016.
Will Fuller was a good pick in 16. He got hurt a lot, but, I mean, Fuller was a good pick. Rick Smith did a damn good job as general manager in the first round. But where did that get him? You got to find guys in the middle of the draft. And last year was a pretty good start for Caserio, all things considered. The first year is kind of a wash. He barely had any picks to play with. This year, and specifically today, with those two third-round picks that they have, are they going to move up? Are they going to trade back? Today is where they got to hit some home runs if they're going to be anything different. You know, you go back to a team that I used to cover, but I'm familiar with the history of. The Seahawks in 2011 and 2012 did an incredible job of finding mid to late round talent. And that's how that team became so good overnight. Like Cam Chancellor, bargain bin. Richard Sherman, fifth round pick. Yeah, they got Earl Thomas early, but they found a bunch of guys late. That's how you win. And I get it. Giving up a first round pick next year or a second round pick next year, when you, by the way, still have a first and second round pick next year, maybe not as high as you would ideally want, you can't look at that as a complete mistake, because yeah, it hurts, but you got to find guys today. Round two, round three, round four, those are the most important rounds in a draft. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call, to text in as well on the HR&P listener line. You got a lot of stuff to talk about over the course of today's show. The Texans drafted C.J. Stroud. They drafted Will Anderson. Got some fun facts on the two of those guys. We have to play maybe the most, the hottest, most negative take that's probably ever been aired on ESPN 97.5, and a whole lot more. Second hour of the show's next. It's the Paul Gallant Show.
D'Amico got his man.
Quickly, they get it off. It is intercepted. This is Will Anderson Jr. Touchdown.
Will Anderson is the future of the Texans defense. Full reaction to the Texans draft is right here on ESPN 97.5.